Well, I have Brother Charlie Smith with me today, and he has an awesome testimony that he has shared in our assembly the other day. Edified everybody pretty good, and it's all about, you know, being steadfast in your trials and tribulations, and seeing God answers. So many people don't endure long enough to see God answer, because he does want to test us and try us. And, you know, the trial of your faith is when you see something that's contrary to what you're believing for. And we need to be steadfastly holding fast to walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You know what walking in the Spirit is? It's walking with those spiritual senses Hebrews 5 talks about. Those senses that are washed with the water of the Word. Those senses that cause us to see spiritually instead of carnally, and hear spiritually instead of carnally, and feel spiritually instead of carnally, etc., etc. Walking in the Spirit is not walking in the flesh. It is not walking by sight, by feelings, these things. Walk in the Spirit, we're not going to be moved. We're going to be immovable. We're not going to be moved by the things that happen in the flesh, because we know what we believe, know the promises, we stand on them steadfastly, and we endure to the end to be saved, as Jesus said. Right? Amen. Well, Brother Charlie, come and share your testimony with us. We appreciate you coming on so much, and thank you for blessing the people.
Amen, Brother David. It's good to be here with all the brethren, and I just thank the good Lord for what we've just came out of. Like some of the other brethren, we're all in a time of trying, a time of tribulation to see if we're going to stand. And, you know, the only way we can stand is in faith, you know, trusting and believing God. And as I was telling the brethren the other night, that our tribulation was quite different this time. We had well pump problems, and we've been without any water, any source of water for 5 weeks. And that's a pretty good while, you know, when you depend on water for drinking and for bathing and all the other things that that you need water for, to suddenly be just cut off, you know. And, of course, you know, the ideal came in my head, well, you know, we could always maybe get somebody to check it out and all of this. But in my heart, I didn't feel good with that at all. And so I told Linda, I said, we're going to do this right this time. I said, if we need to seek God, I said, Linda, if we don't learn how to use our faith now, you know, it may be that, you know, when we get into the real tribulation, that, you know, we need to know how to use our faith and believe God for whatever, you know, water, food, or healing, or whatever, you know, any kind of supply that we might need there. So we come into agreement one with the other that we would not lean on the arm of flesh, that we would endure this trial, and we would see God come through for us. And like I mentioned, this trial went for 5 weeks. And but we were careful not to let any kind of confession, bad confession, negative confession come out of our mouth, because we wasn't going to be moved by the things around us or what we saw or what we felt. We were just waiting upon the Lord. And I know we didn't tell anyone at the assembly that we what we were going through or anything. Because they would have prayed for us, you know, and they would have intercede. But we were wanting to test God's faith out for ourselves. we wanted to trust God, you know, for ourselves. So that was the only reason that we thought we just wouldn't tell anybody what was going on, so we could see the end of this, and then we wouldn't have to worry. Well, not worry, but, you know, we wouldn't be concerned about, well, was it our faith, or was it our brethren's faith that got us through this, or what? You know, we just wanted to go through this ourselves, and we'd know that it was just us and God, you know. And so that's what we did. We didn't tell anybody anything that was going on. I know that in times past, I haven't been that way. I didn't have much trouble believing God for maybe 2 or 3 days, and after that, well, I would just give in and, you know, throw in the towel, you know, and just give up. But the Bible talks about fighting the good side of faith, you know, and so there's times when, you know, maybe the answer don't come, you know, immediately. You have to stand and believe God, even if you don't see anything, you know. And in Hebrews there, you know, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen, you see. And God knows we wasn't seeing any water, you know, but that didn't change anything with us, you know. So we just stood ground and we praised and worshiped the Lord. And every morning when I would get up before I'd start my Bible reading, why, I would just spend some time thanking God for our water being restored and healed, and thanking Him for good water pressure. And I was just praising Him for coming through for us and bragging on Him, you know, every morning. And we was doing this for 5 weeks, and we had joy going through this. Trust in the Lord, you know, in this situation, you know. And we bought drinking water, whatever, you know, we needed. You know, it wasn't like we were stranded, but we wasn't depending on nobody to fix anything, because we were depending on God to take care of the whole situation, and He did. And as time went on, well, every day we was praising God and waiting on our provision. You know, we believed it was on its way. You know, from the first day that we asked Him, we believed the provision was on its way, and so we gave thanks for it. And it was this past Friday, probably around lunchtime, we had to go to the store to pick up a few things. And so on the way into town, why, I had this little voice say, go to the well drilling place. And I thought, no, I'm not doing that. I don't think I'll do that. I'm trusting God, and I'm not going to lean to the arm of flesh. So I kept going, and probably within about a half a mile of getting to the place where they drill wells and do all of that, this little voice spoke to me again, said, pull in here and go in. And so I told Linda, I said, well, I really feel prompt to pull in here. I said, I don't know what this is all about, but I said, I'll just go in here right quick and see what's going to happen or whatever. And so I just went in, and there was a young man that worked there, you know, and he came out from the office and wanted to know if he could help me. And I told him, I said, well, I said, I just came by. I was having a little problem with my water. And I said, I just came by. I don't know for sure what for. And he went to talking. He said, oh, you're having water problems, huh? And I didn't answer that, because our water problem was healed. And he said, well, here's your card. And he said, this guy here works on stuff like that. And I didn't ask for the card, and I just stuck it in my pocket. And he was asking me what kind of pump it was and all of that. And he went into a big conversation over it and all that, you know. And I was just standing there letting him talk. So I told him, I said, well, I said, I've got to go. And He said, well, I wished I could help you, but I just don't really know about things like that. And that's why I gave you that guy's card. I said, well, that's okay. And he turned away from me and walked off. And as he walked off, he turned around quickly and looked back at me. And this time he spoke to me with authority. And I thought, wow. And he spoke to me these words. He said, I have healed your pump. And he told me what the problem was. And he said, when you go back home, you lay hands on it and you'll see your healing. And I thought, well, and I said, well, praise you, Jesus. And the young man said, do what? And I said, I was just talking to the Lord. And he said, oh, okay, whatever. And so I went outside. I rushed outside and told Linda. I said, Lord, I believe I got a word from the Lord, Linda. I said, he told us to go back home and lay hands on that water bladder that comes from the pump. And I said, he said our healing of the water would be there. And so we went on to the store and picked up an item or two, and we came all the way back home. And so we went down there in the basement where it comes in at, and I just laid my hand on it, and I said, Lord, I thank you for healing our water. And it just gushed through, and it filled up the water container, the bladder, and it filled up the hot water heater, and you could just hear it gushing through the pipes and everything. And I told Linda, I said, praise God, do you hear all of this? And we could hear it going, you know, through all the lines of the house and everything. So we just came on upstairs quickly, and we started turning on all the faucets and everything, you know, and water just gushing out. And we hadn't had any water in 5 weeks, and we wasn't depending on the arm of flesh in no way. But God came through for us. He's never late. He's always on time. And I just thank him for trying us. I thank him for seeing us through all of this, because we're going to need the faith and God's faith to get us through what's coming later on. And I just want to encourage everybody out there, just don't give up no matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter if it's water, food, clothes, or whatever. Just ask God in faith for it, and just move on. Move on and don't think no more about it, and praise him for the answer even before it comes. And Brother David, I just want to say that I appreciate you. And I know in times past I'd call Brother David to pray with me or agree with me in prayer and all that, but it has really energized me. It has given me confidence, more confidence in the Lord, you know, and my faith is, I feel like my faith is up on a higher level now, knowing that if God can supply water just like he did for Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness, you know, when they had water and it was bitter, why God showed Moses the tree and said, throw that in the waters. And he threw it in the water, and it made the water sweet, and the waters were healed. And just like the times when they didn't have any water at all, and God told him to speak to the rock, you know, and it'd bring forth water. Well, that's what I was doing when I was praying for the well. I laid my hands on the little intake that brought it into the house, and I was laying hands on it, and I spoke to it. I told it was healed in Jesus' name. And so I spoke to the rock. I didn't smite it, and I wasn't trying to beat it with a hammer or fix it or anything. I just spoke to the rock like the Lord commanded us in his word to do. And he provided us with water, my brothers and sisters. And I'm just so thankful for what God has done for us, and I know he's going to take care of us in the future. If he can provide manna in the wilderness and water in the wilderness, and hey, he can do anything that we're able to believe him for. And so my prayer is that we just continue to grow in the faith of God, and we please him, because there's no other way we can please God. They that come to him must believe he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so I just wanted to share that with you tonight on the broadcast. And thank you a lot there, Brother David, and I turn it back over to you.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. That's an awesome testimony. Praise be to God. Isn't it so nice to know that you don't have to pay attention to what you see or feel or hear? You can just trust in the promises and patiently endure, and God will always answer. You know, many people don't wait that long. You know, I was sharing with the brethren the other night how Brother Robert Laredon wrote a book years ago, and it was about his trip to heaven. And an angel was escorting him through this warehouse and with shelves in it, and on the shelves were just anything you really needed. And in particular, there was body parts on the shelves, you know, and arms, legs, eyes, ears, whatever, you know. And Robert asked the angel, what is all this, you know? And the angel said, well, these are things that people prayed for but didn't endure to the end of their trial to receive them. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting, and it's awfully true. You know, many people start out in faith, but very few endure the trial to see the answer. And, you know, the Bible says in Romans 5:3, it says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations. So why do we rejoice in our tribulation? Because tribulation works patience. It works steadfastness in us. It battle hardens us, you know. We rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness. Now, that's the way my Bible translates it, but steadfast just means firm, stable, immovable. In this case, it's being used as being patiently enduring trials without failing. And so he tells you that tribulation worketh steadfastness. Steadfastness, approvedness. Because when you're steadfast, holding fast to the promises, holding fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised, right? When you're steadfast, you are approved by God. Steadfastness brings approvedness, and approvedness, hope. Like Brother Charlie was saying, how this increased his hope. And hope, of course, in the scriptures is translated from a word that means firm expectation. Things to come, obviously. And the Bible says, hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Confession of your hope. What do you hope for? What is it that you're praying for? What is it that you want from God? Well, whatever it is. You know, he has told us that all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. And so you believe you received right up until the time you see the answer, right? I'm not negating anything that God might want to do in your life to get something out of the way that could cause you to walk in unbelief or to keep you from receiving your answer, talked a lot about unforgiveness. It's obvious that unforgiveness can keep you from receiving from God, because if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. If you're not forgiven, you're not entitled to anything from God. So definitely sure you're not holding anything critical or anger or railing or slander or anything that's all rooted in unforgiveness. Right? Make sure of that. Beyond that, we're not talking about anybody being perfect, because all of this is by grace. It's unmerited favor. You can't be good enough to receive the things from God that you need. They're in the promises. We're counting God faithful to keep his promise. Believe me, he knows if you don't believe he's faithful enough to keep his promise. That's what the trial is all about. It will prove one way or the other who it is that loves God. And so I'm reminded of James chapter 1 and verse 2 on down. It says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. You know what a manifold is, huh? Like one root with many branches, you know. You've been in that kind of temptations before? Well, I can tell you a lot of people are going through that right now, and it is to prepare them for the things that are coming. The Lord is battle-hardening them, right? So count it all joy, my brethren. There it is again. He wants us to rejoice in tribulations. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. So the proving of your faith, that is, how do you prove someone's faith? Well, they hold steadfast to the promise while they don't see anything. That's how your faith is proven, and that works patience. And, you know, Charlie got quite a bit of patience through waiting for 5 weeks for his answer, but he made it. He did it the easy way. Actually, he rejoiced and thanked the Lord, praised the Lord for it. All that's the language of faith, and so he patiently endured and he received his answer. So we're told, the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Meaning, you won't lack anything if you're patient in your faith. Patiently endure the trial without stumbling and going back on the Lord. In other words, steadfast, firm, stable, immovable. Right, not being blown about by every wind. Right? And down in verse 12, we're told, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Endurance, what we need, endurance. For when he hath been approved, there it is again, approved, he shall receive the crown of life. So you're enduring this trial of your faith in which you see just the opposite of what you're promised, but you're holding to the promise because you believe God. And when you've been approved, you're going to get your answer. Not only that, you get a reward, because he said, you'll receive the crown of life. The Lord promised to them that love him. Do you love him? Well, then the righteous shall live from faith, the Bible says. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Hence, that you might be perfect and also lacking in nothing, right? I'm going to read on verse 13 here. It says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. He himself tempteth no man. But each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. So when you're in the midst of a trial, the devil uses your flesh to entice you. Give up and take the easy route. But you're acting as though God's not faithful to his word. If you love him, you know he is, right? And he knows that. Now, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, he says. Verse 15, then the lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. So, you know, unbelief is at the root of every kind of lack and every kind of sin. Yeah. But endurance in your faith will get you everything that you lack in nothing, right? Oh, praise the Lord. Awesome word there. You know, many people, they scoff at the faith walk. They wonder, why do you do that? You know, well, because we want to please God. We want to learn the ways of faith. We want to walk as sons of God. We want to be able to walk above the world and the things of the world and the temptations of the world. If you're patient in your faith, you won't lack anything, and you'll be perfect. That's what he said. Well, praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of patience. Having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. How many start out doing the will of God? They're standing, they're believing, they're not acting in the flesh, not moved by what they see, but after a while, because they don't have patience, they fall away. Now, I want to tell you this is very important. And don't forget it. There is a difference of being patient in your faith and legalism. Legalism is when you are not going to be moved because you're stubborn. You're not going to be moved not because you believe you have received, but because you want to impress people around you. Some reason like that, some kind of peer pressure or something like that, you know. Some people don't go to a doctor because they just refuse to go to doctors. They think it's bad, wrong to go to doctors. Well, no, it's wrong to be in unbelief. But if you are in unbelief, and you're not going to receive anything from the Lord, James said, double-minded, and you're unstable in all your ways, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. So then it's just pure stubbornness, and it has nothing to do with faith. To be stubborn in your faith is wonderful because you're believing you have received, and that's not going to go unanswered unless you're walking in willful disobedience. The Bible says if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins. Certain fearful expectation of judgment. So if you're walking in willful disobedience, when God has spoken to you and sometimes spoken to you and you've hardened your conscience against him and you think you're going to walk the faith walk, well, you're going to fail. Repent. Do what God tells you to do. Obey your conscience. Obey the Word of God. God's preparing people in these days for to stand up in battle. You won't be able to stand in battle if you got willful disobedience in your life, right? So Hebrews 10:36 says, "You have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Amen. Patiently enduring, steadfast in your faith, right? Immovable, because you believe the Word of God. Heard about Charlie's different temptations there. You know, he was tempted to go and take care of it himself, you know. But he had believed the Lord to do that. And you see, he didn't have to do that. Many people would call him crazy if he hadn't gone and found somebody to fix the problem instead of enduring all that trouble. Do we suffer sometimes while we endure the trial of our faith? Well, Charlie did. Suffered. We all do. But do we love God enough that we would continue to walk by faith to see the answer? It's very important because when you share the testimony like Charlie did with you, it encourages other people to walk by faith, and faith is the only thing that's going to bring us through the wilderness. Charlie put himself in a wilderness when he decided to just trust God. God's is a lot cheaper than hiring men to do it, right? And sometimes they're not available. Sometimes they really can't fix it. So there's all kinds of reasons. There's nothing God can't fix, right? And all kinds of reasons to learn to trust in God. Now, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, "There is no temptation taken you but such as man can bear." You can bear up under the temptation. Temptation to do it your way, the temptation to save yourself, the temptation to take it into your own hands. You can do that. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape. Well, Charlie got a way of escape, didn't he? He wasn't tempted beyond his ability, but he did endure faith and the grace he had. And he endured for those days until he saw the answer, and that was his escape. And he says, "But will with the temptation make also the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Amen. God's faithful. He wants to test you. He wants to try you, but he won't go beyond what you're capable of. He's even given you a measure of faith, so you know that you can do this, right? Colossians 1:11, "Strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy." Unto all patience and long-suffering. Well, what's long-suffering? Well, it's suffering long, right? Charlie suffered long. People would have given up long before that. There had been times when he'd done it himself, and I have too. But long-suffering is suffering long in order to endure and see the answer. Oh, praise the Lord. Hebrews 12 and 12 says, therefore, let us also, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is the race? Well, the race is to come into Christlikeness before we're finished here, you know. We want to bear the fruit of Jesus 30, 60, and 100-fold. We're here to become sons of God. That's the whole point. Well, don't consider that a value, but they don't value the things that God values. God wants sons of God in the image of Jesus Christ. So it is important to him, and it should be important to you and me, right? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our eyes on him. Do you know that Jesus perfected your faith at the cross? He made reconciliation, and he gave you his faith. He took away your unbelief and nailed it on the cross. What the Bible calls reconciliation, the exchange, right? Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Charlie endured the cross. His old self was just dying to do something about this and take care of it and fix it all up for the Lord, you know. But he endured the cross, the crucifixion of old self. He's always, we've been trained up since we were little to save ourselves, you know. Well, there's sometimes that will fail you because you can't. And if that's the only thing you've got, and if that's the only God you've got, that God's going to fail you in the midst of tribulation. That's why you got to get into the kingdom of God and trust in him, right? Endured the cross, despising shame. Yep, you'll run into that too. That's part of a persecution and the tribulation and the long suffering that we do is despising the shame. Some people will try to shame you because you're doing something that's so contrary to human wisdom, right? There's lots of Christians that would shame you, you know, if you're trusting in God. That's crazy. God's not going to do that, right? Well, they'll come against you any way they can, but that's just the devil in them, pure and simple. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, Jesus said, he that overcometh will sit down with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. What is the throne? Place of authority, place of power. So, if you will endure the trial of your faith and be steadfast and endure to the end, God will give you authority. You'll exercise dominion for him. You'll sit down in his throne. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners. Oh, you see, if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to endure gainsaying of sinners. Oh, yeah, a lot of them will be Christians or call themselves Christians, but they're not. If they were Christians, they would receive you, and they would cooperate with you in your trial. God's plan is it's also Jesus' desire that you endure in your trials, because then you can be perfect, and then you can have everything that you need to do his will, right? Considering him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that you wax not weary, fainting in your souls. Yep, we want to be like him, right? Patiently enduring. Endure the gainsaying of sinners, the railers and the mockers and all these people. Don't think God's forsaken you because you endure that, you know. Praise the Lord. Give thanks for your tribulation, like he said, and through the trial. And God will, like we said, battle harden you. These things won't bother you as much the next time and the next time and the next time, right? God is faithful. And another 12 and 12 is Romans 12 and 12. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly, unmoved in prayer, not moved by the trouble, the tribulation, the trial, in prayer. Praise be to God. And Romans 15 and 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Okay, so comfort yourselves in God's promises. Now, when you're going through a trial, don't just try to bear it up, grit your teeth and hold on, you know. Encourage your soul. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of your spirit. Don't let your spirit be defenseless against this trial. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, and faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word, right? So go into the Scriptures, arm yourself up, put on your armaments, and do battle. So you won't lose, right? Now, the God of patience and comfort grant you to be of the same mind one with another according to Christ Jesus. Right? It would be very nice if all of God's people agreed on these things. You could get encouragement from other people instead of a bunch of railing, you know. But the way it is, that's part of the trial, isn't it? And James 5 and 7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it. God's patiently waiting for us to learn patience and to endure the trial to see these wonderful answers, you know, until it receive the early and the latter rain. So God's patient, and he knows that he's going to perfect a people after the early and the latter rain. Glory be to God, you know. And he wants us to have that same patience. So he goes on to say in verse 8, be you also patient, and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand, right? Yeah, because when we're patient, we can have that perfection he talks about. When we're patient, holding to the promises, holding fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, we can have those things that we need, including his righteousness, his purity, his power, his provision, all of these things, right? Now look in verse 10. It says, take, brethren, for an example of suffering and of patience. It's okay to suffer patiently while you're going through this fiery trial that burns up all your old wood, hay, and stubble of your old works, right? For an example of suffering and patience, the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord, behold, we call them blessed that endured. Yeah, we call them blessed that endured. Now, are we going to be blessed if we endure? Well, absolutely. He that endureth to the end shall be saved, Jesus said. The end of what? The end of the trial. That you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. Yes, he is. So count on God's mercy. Be patient. Endure your trial. He's training you, getting you ready for greater things down the road. If you learn the trials now, you'll be ready for the greater things down the road, right? Amen. Hebrews 12 and 7 says, it is for chastening that you endure. God dealeth with you as with sons. What son is there whom his father chasteneth not? Well, we need to patiently endure chastening too, because God chastens us. You know, sometimes in the midst of chastening, you are very, very careful with God, and you seek to find out, you listen better to what he says to you. And in the midst of chastening, he can talk to you, and you're ready to listen instead of just, you know, pass it on over and and continue on in your self-willed ways, you know. It's the chastening. You're more likely to listen, slow down, find out what he wants. You just don't want the rod to fall on you again, right? So, you know, you're always praying and asking God to get you out of this trouble or that trouble, or heal your body, or deliver you from this, or deliver you from that, or provide this and provide that. And in the midst of that trial, as you don't see the answer, you're always more careful to make sure you're pleasing him and you're not willfully disobedient in anything, right? So that purifies you. When you're believing God for things that you need, you get purified. Right? Sometimes God doesn't answer until you answer him, until you do what he tells you to do. When you give up that willfully stubborn disobedience, well, then he answers, right? Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, "But thou didst follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience." So, you know, we're just walking in the steps. Apostle Paul and many others, our forefathers in the Spirit, right? We're just walking in their steps. They went through these trials. We will too. So we need to follow in his faith, his long-suffering, his patience, and verse 11, persecutions. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you are living godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. They will come after you, even those that call themselves Christians. Remember who persecuted the saints? It was God's people. It's always been that way. It's been that way with me. It's always been that way with me. I've always desired more of God. Wanted more, wanted to walk in more, wanted to walk in the steps of Jesus, and I've gone through a lot of persecution and a lot of hatred from people that call themselves Christians. And it's just something that you've got to patiently endure unto the end, because in the end, folks, he's going to turn and chasten these people that do such things. He's going to justify you. That's the same with any other trial. It's that way. He said, "What things befell me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, persecutions I endured. Out of them all the Lord delivered me." Oh, praise the Lord. Endure patiently your persecutions. Come for a reason. They come to prove who's who, too, you know. You're either a persecutor or the persecuted. So, they come to prove who's who. Come to separate the wheat from the tares. Verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I'll suffer persecution. So patiently endure in that too, right? Romans 2:7. "Them that by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life." Who is it that gets eternal life? Them that are patient in well-doing, seeking for glory and honor and incorruption, life. What is well doing? Well, it's walking the way the Lord wants you to walk. Towards your needs, towards your desires, towards the work of God, towards fruit, etc. You walk by faith, don't you? In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, we're told, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." We've been given the patience of Christ. Pray for those things, you ask God, and then you thank God for it. Thank him for his patience, because he gave it to you at the cross. He took away your impatience, gave you his patience. God, he gave you his faith. The Bible says, "Have not faith in God, but the faith of God." Or God's faith, have God's faith, actually says. And Isaiah 40:31 says, They that wait for the Lord. This is a hard thing to do because some people just don't want to wait. They want their answer and they don't want to be trialed and tribulated in order to get it, right? They that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. God strengthens people that wait on Him. We do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He strengthens you when you want to do what's right. Cry out to Him. You can call upon His name and He will answer. You want to do what's right. They that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. In other words, they shall be overcomers. They'll overcome the world, right? Overcome. Sit down with Him in His throne. His God. It means you'll have dominion in the days to come, right? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's patience. That's steadfastness. That's enduring to the end, right? That's what we need, saints. Oh, it's a blessing. Blessing indeed. Now, God will be faithful. He'll be faithful to you. He'll be faithful to give you what you need, you know. Hold on to the confession of your faith. Let it waver not, so you're not double-minded. He's faithful, they promised. Love God, you're going to endure temptation. That's what James said. Endure your temptation. Don't be double-minded. If you do, you're not going to receive, right? God. Don't get into legalism. It has to be faith. Careful of that. All kinds of traps that the devil has been using for thousands of years. He's very, you might say he's very patient. Because he can run you through a whole bunch of stuff, you know. But these are all making you stronger. When you endure these things, you overcome them, you learn of his tactics, and you don't fall for the same thing the next time, right? Oh, praise be to God. In enduring patiently what the Lord has laid out before you. Right? Whatever, listen, you can't receive anything except it come from heaven. Man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. There's no accidents with you. God's chosen you. He's chosen you to bring you into sonship, and He does it through these trials. You endure these trials, you learn how to walk as a son of God, not a son of man, right? It's be God. Plan. Not only that, you won't have any place in the wilderness that God won't supply your needs. Amen. Lord, we trust you and we thank you, Father, and we ask you, Lord, to put in our hearts steadfastness until we're approved and we receive our answers. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for putting that steadfastness in us. Thank you, Lord, for granting us grace to be patient in our trials. Thank you, Lord, not to pay any attention to what we see with our eyes, but what we see with our spiritual eyes. In essence, seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's what you're supposed to be seeing, that He's already given all these things to you, Peter said. Hang on there, saints. Hang in there and put your trust in God, right?